And in 5-point type, very small type, let me put notes there, in Helvetica font, the neutral Swiss font, the neutral font, you have personal is better than corporate, and physical is better, way better than abstract. I believe in honest money, which means I believe in silver. I always have $3 on me, is in addition to Federal Reserve notes and junk coin, which is the circulating medium of the realm today. Part of our story of bankruptcy. We're brought to you by Nuganomics.com. That's Nuganomics.com, the website for the man who matters and the woman. I do have a woman reader, but it is for the person who matters. You might say the elite client of this editor and publisher who broadcasts and narrowcasts, narrowcasting there for a unique and very special minority of people who matter. That's Nuganomics.com. And the number to call is 800-8949. Certainly, if you, my listener, are having a divorce crisis and a courtroom crisis and you are just bewildered, it would be good to stay tuned here. We're talking with Gary Scott. He is a divorced man. He and his ex-wife, Namika, have 3 children in a 50-50 custody split. And he was tens of thousands of dollars in advance in overpayments through Maximus, the cartel operator. And he had a meeting with his ex-wife. Two attorneys were there, one ostensibly on his side. And he ended up paying more, though he was well paid in advance. What is going on here? What is this all about? Well, this is David Tulis, and we're going to find out more about this local economy and unfree market phenomenon. That is to say, the state child trafficking industry. It is an industry in which money is the controlling fuel. Like as Gary says in his business as an electrician, he works at Sequoia Nuclear Facility. There's an outage right now, and he's putting in 72-hour weeks as an electrician. And once that thing gets going again after the outage is over, there's nuclear fuel that burns. The atoms are split, and energy is created. And the energy, as he tells me, in this venue of the judicial industrial complex. Is children, they're the thing trafficked, and money flows when children come under court order. Well, Gary, tell my listener what he needs. He's totally over his head. He can't afford the lawyer anymore. What is it he needs to be doing? How can he start thinking about his problem? Are there resources in the Chattanooga area that he might take advantage of?
No, there are no resources. Yet there are resources typically for the women in divorce cases. There's called the legal aid, which a lot of divorced or seeking divorce females go to for legal help. And the services are free. I think it's pro bono. And they give these services and draft their pleadings and their court documents for them and go in court and represent them free of charge. Yet those services are not afforded to men. So I would tell you right now, the resources that you have is your brain, your tenacity, and your willingness to defend yourself and your constitutional rights as a father and mother. You know, I'm not trying to say that this only happens to fathers. There is a percentage of mothers that get hemmed up in the child support system, wrongfully. So
is it possible for the child support system to be just at any point? Or Gary Scott, is it not possible? Is it possible only for it to be wrong? Of course, we're dealing here with legal disputes. There's always one party is always being hurt by the other, but justice is supposed to prevail in court. The right thing is supposed to be decided by the judge. Is that possible?
No, not when there's money involved, money to be gained by producing orders. I went in court with a strong argument, and Judge Hedrick looked at my
Circuit
case.
Circuit Court Judge Kyle Hedrick.
Circuit Court Judge Kyle Hedrick. He led the defendants to believe that they were going to.
Go ahead. We're talking with Gary Scott, and you're talking about Kyle Hedrick in a ruling against you. Is that right?
Yes. And there appeared to be a ruling against me. So the hearing before the last hearing, he led the defendant to believe that, you bring in these documents, Mrs. Gaines, and I will make a ruling against Mr. Scott. And I'm like, here we go again. I'm $15,000 overpaid and these people are trying to keep my money. All right. So we come back the next hearing, I think the next following week, and Judge Hedrick found in the documents in Maximus' own paperwork that there was a credit to my account in the negative. So he said when he found it, he said the money is going back to Mr. Scott. But this is how he did it. He said, we're going to reduce your payments over 3 years. And that's how we're going to give you your $15,000 back, Mr. Scott, which my whole case, my whole constitutional argument was I shouldn't have never paid anything because I was never found guilty of not taking care of my children. So that I took the victory, even though small, and I disagree with, you know, highly. And that's what got me into federal court. So.
Well, on the 13th of this month, not too many days ago, Gary Scott, you filed, of course, a suit in U.S. District Court naming Judge Hedrick in his personal capacity and also in his official capacity. You have a case number assigned. It's a complaint for fraud in the inducement, false advertising, forced compelled association, and a 42 U.S. Code 42-1983 deprivation of rights claim under color of law. What are you arguing? Who are the other defendants?
There are several defendants. Administrator for DHS, the commissioner. I mean, there's a 42 USC 654-3, single separate unit. Basically, the child support system is a business. That's what it is. Everything done in the child support system is contractual. The federal government contracts with the state, and the state contracts with every county in within that state for these funds. So the whole thing is contractual, and you have to go in court and prove it. Of course you can, and it's listed in my pleading, which I can't.
So the state can't claim immunity and sovereign immunity.
Exactly, because it's all contractual.
So that's how you can sue these people in their official capacity as well as their personal capacity.
That's correct.
Are you asking for damages or just rectification of the problem?
Yes, I am asking for damages, asking for all of my money that they fraudulently induced me in. That they fraudulently took from me. Yes, I'm asking for all of it back in the pleading.
Well, you say there are no resources for men, Gary Scott. What is a man? My listener, or maybe my listener knows a man. What can he do? How can he get ahead?
There are resources. There's just not resources like you would think. There's not a place you could go where fathers and mothers and family members are being helped in a positive way, and we're having are seeing a positive outcome from the help. So this is what I suggest. You study the law, get on YouTube, look up. This is what I said, men paying child support for kids that are not theirs. I started out with that. Okay. You will be shocked at the level of stories, the amount of stories where fathers are paying child support for kids that have been proven by DNA evidence that are not theirs.
Because the woman, the ex-wife, or the woman who's about to be the ex-wife, wife conceives in extramarital illicit relations, sexual relations, conceives of a child, and the man who impregnated her has no rights to that child. Therefore, he has no obligation, and so the obligation is yours, since that woman is still legally your wife.
That is correct. If you're married, the law states, you can look it up on Tennessee.gov, that if you are married and you get separated from your spouse, and she becomes pregnant within 300 days of the final divorce decree, and I want you to get this. 300 days is how many months?
10
months. How many months does it take for a baby to be conceived and born? 9. So they cover themselves, all right? The baby is going to be born before the 10-month period, and before the 300-day period.
The ex-husband will be liable for the support of that child.
Right.
Even though it's conceived by her paramour.
Right. That is correct. So yeah, a lot of men, a lot of veterans, who are on deployment, and they leave their families and their wives at home. They come home to pregnant wives, and now they have to pay child support for children that are not there simply because there was a marriage license, which they use that marriage license as a voluntary acknowledgement of paternity, meaning you are assumed to be the father just because you have a marriage license with him.
Well, we're talking with Gary Scott, and I'm glad you're bringing this up because it's been I'm an advocate of common law marriage, which strikes badly many people, especially Christians, who think, well, somehow David Tullis is the longtime Presbyterian deacon, believes in shacking up. Well, no, that's not the case at all. What is the difference, Gary Scott, between a marriage under state license and a marriage under common law? What is the difference?
When you go obtain a marriage license from your state. What you're doing, you're asking permission to get married and for them to represent you represent you in a quote legal marriage, a legal union under state law or whatever. All right. So when you go obtain that marriage license, you're handing over jurisdiction to the state over your marriage, and you're handing over jurisdiction over the fruit of your marriage, which is your children. And that's why you wonder when you get in court, you're treated like a slave because they own you. That's why, because you've handed over jurisdiction to them by way of the marriage license.
Because you, my listener, got a marriage license. You did that because you realized somehow in your own mind that you couldn't get married to your sweetheart. You just didn't know how to do that. You were unable to do that. So you go to the enabling party, which is what?
The state.
The state is the enabling party. You approach the state. You say, state, may I please marry my beloved over here with the blonde hair and the very sweet smile, and it says, yes, just make application and I will give you, pay the fee, and I will give you that permission. And so the state then is the enabling party in every statutory marital union,
right,
Gary Scott?
That is correct.
So you're suggesting to my listener, Gary Scott, that there is a legal disability that we all have if we're married under license. There's a legal disability we have touching our children and our rights to govern our children and to control them until they leave the house.
That is correct. Let me give you a real clear thing that happened in our country. You know, we all know that President Barack Obama, he endorsed homosexual marriage, gay marriage and stuff. So constitutionally, the Supreme Court made the right decision. All right. Let me tell you how the states responded. Some states wanted to stop selling marriage licenses altogether as retaliation for the government supporting gay marriage, all right? That should alert the public because the state is not mandated to sell marriage licenses. They sell them because they make money doing it, that period. They're not constitutionally mandated to sell marriage licenses. I say that again, they only do it to make money. So when the states were gonna just opt out of giving out marriage licenses altogether, then what would you do to get married if your belief is the only way to be married is a marriage license? If the state says, you know what, we're just not going to sell them anymore, you're on your own.
Well, how is it my listener gets married to his beloved, or how my listener to her beloved? How does that happen, Gary Scott? What is the in common law marriage, how does that happen?
In common law, from what I've studied, and I haven't just delved into it heavily, but your community, your church, the marriage then goes back to the church where it should be, all right? It should be governed and kept up with by the community. And, you know, you can have a big wedding. You could go through all the rigmarole, the traditional things. And you can go on honeymoon. You can go pay to have your wife's name changed. Downtown, you can do all the stuff. You can draw up your living will, what you want to happen to your assets in case of one of you dies. You can do all that stuff outside of a marriage license. You don't need a marriage license to do that.
Well, a marriage license is just a quick way of asserting several facts that don't actually have to be proven. A marriage license creates a rebuttable presumption of an actual union. An actual union between a man and a woman has five tests. One is capacity of the parties. They're old enough. Consent, they both agree to be married. Consummation, which is sex mm-hmm. with penetration. That sex and consummation is called consummation. Mm-hmm. Sexual union, the main thing that marriage is about in the scriptures. Then there's cohabitation, living together, and then holding forth. Holding forth is everyone, we are introducing ourselves as husband and wife. And that is to say, there's a social claim made upon society that this is a public union. It is held forth in public. And so that's when you exercise the right. Well, let me ask you this. Where does the right to marry come from?
Comes from God.
and how old is this right?
Since the beginning of humanity.
Does that precede the creation of
yes,
the church?
Yes, it does.
Does it precede the creation of the state?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Well, so Gary Scott is making a very valuable point here, and that is marriage is a creational right. Yes. And so when we go to the state asking to do something we have a right to do, we are creating a disability. So again, for the listener just joining us, Gary Scott, how does a marriage license create a disability in your case? In your case, where is the legal weakness that you are suffering under now?
In my findings and my experience, the marriage license created a disadvantage for me because I gave jurisdiction over to the state, over my marriage and over my children, to where that's where they're able to implement all of these atrocities against me and take my money and do what they want to with me. And for now, what I now believe my only remedy is to go outside of the state's legal realm into the federal realm to argue my constitutional rights. So, guys, I just want to let you know that I'm still learning. I'm not a know-it-all. I haven't mastered this thing, but I'm learning as I go, and I'm trying to help my fellow man as I go forward.
Is there a meeting coming up soon, Gary Scott, that my listener, my guy listener might want to attend? Is there something coming up? Is there some way he can make local contact?
Yes, they can contact me. I haven't planned any meetings or anything at the moment, but you can contact me via email at scott.gary37@gmail.com. Again, that's scott.gary37@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to answer any question that you have. I do want to say that the you can go to CNN.com. Lisa Ling conducted a documentary about this very issue in America. All right. It's a very detailed documentary, and she went so far into detail that in divorces that what's normally done against one of the parties in a marriage is a restraining order. There may be a lot of fathers out there right now that are suffering under the order of being restrained from their wife, children, their home. So let me tell you, when this all starts with an order of protection, all right, when the process server comes out, the sheriff deputy comes out to serve you on an order of protection, you have to immediately, after you've been served, draft paperwork, which I can help you with, a draft paperwork to fight it and challenge jurisdiction and request a trial by jury. This will take the power out of the judge's hands, put it in the hands of a jury. You'll be inviting the public in to hear your case, where he can't just hand down a summary judgment against you, which is normally what happens.
And that will be a case filed in circuit court?
Yes, yes. Most cases they're filed in circuit court.
So this is what we're all about here on the David Hillis Show. We're talking with Gary Scott, and you can reach him at scott.gary37@gmail.com. That's scott.gary37@gmail.com. And we're here to empower you. I want you, my listener, to think that you can make things happen. We can bring about reforms here in Chattanooga, not just on this issue, but on other issues as well. If men, groups of men, hordes of men, buildings full of men say, I've had enough. I'm not going to let the machinery of the state here pushed along by their ex-wives govern me and control me and tromp all over me, I'm going to fight back. Then we have the prospect of change, because the system relies on ignorance. It relies on people just bowing
correct.
Down and going along with yes. is what. And I think the problem is cases are administered, not adjudicated, Gary Scott.
That is correct.
What's the difference?
Well, anytime a judge hears a child support case in his courtroom, he steps down as a judicial officer. He becomes an administrator, sort of like a CEO over the business. So if you're wondering why the language may change in the courtroom, is because he's not acting in judicial capacity. He's acting as an administrator. So, I found all this out through listening to videos on YouTube, and then verifying the information by looking up the actual laws. So, guys, you really have to dive in. This is a fight for our rights. This is a fight for your freedom, your liberty. And, I liken this to pre-Civil War slavery.
I don't think you're exaggerating at all, Gary Scott. And the whole question about administration is this: in other issues as well, where our liberties are in jeopardy, we have ceded, we have yielded and given in to effectively what is administration. And somehow we're trapped by either a trust or a contract or some kind of contract of adhesion to the system and it's almost impossible for us to see how to get out. And so we never get our rights respectfully dealt with or treated, but we're administered because already we have ceded important jurisdictional claims and rights, Gary Scott, and we're just rolled over.
That's it. That is exactly right. Guys, the only way out of this is for us to unify, for us to protest. I tell everybody, go to American Families for Equal and Shared Parenting. They are the leading organization that's in Washington fighting for our rights, fighting for equality. Go to them and and support them, donate to them, because they are the leading people fighting for us right now to get things changed.
Gary Scott, thank you.
Thank you.
This is David Tullis. We're here every weekday at 1 o'clock. Next, we've got Sean Hannity, the great Sean Hannity. We're the CBS affiliate, so CBS is always at the top of the hour. And our goal is to give you a sense of future bearing so that you can know what to do. And I suggest that you stand your ground. I suggest that you be a belligerent claimant in person. Here's a man who has drafted his own federal lawsuit. A common man doing what common men once were able to do. Maybe we can get that skill back by practice and friendship. David.